Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, it's Blunt Harris here with another Panther Rants podcast. It's Tuesday. My kids are back in school. And of course, everybody's back in school in Houston. It's nuts here. Traffic has gotten absolutely ridiculous. So, you know, all the idiots are back. Anyways, guys, not much going on, you know, as far as, well, for one thing, college football starts back up. Actually, college football's already, you know, begun. It's just there's some little games in the way. I know Rice played Saturday against Prairie View A&M and won by like a field goal. I figured Prairie View would beat them, but you know, it didn't happen that way. But I believe Rice and Houston play this Saturday. Actually, they renewed their rivalry, and it's the Bayou Bucket Bowl. You know, and I don't know. I thought about going to the game. It just depends on some things, but we're doing this big hospital-wide go live, and it's been a disaster. Let's just say that. You know, when you upgrade a system, you would hope to mimic what you've had, and well, our vendor decided to add some new features and do a whole bunch of stuff from scratch, and it's been a disaster, natural disaster. So that's pretty much how my life's been the last few days. But I haven't, you know, catch up on some things, you know, keeping track. I see at the, I think last time we talked, the Whippeal, I heard, was not going to be televised during games, their championship games, and I guess, in, you know, anymore in Pittsburgh. And I guess it came down to, maybe it's changed now, but it came down to money. And I made a joke that the Whippeal, you know, won't be televising their championship games in Pittsburgh. But I'm hearing they got offers from Columbus, State College, Ann Arbor. And I think South Bend is what I said. I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, I'm sure they want more money, let me slow down. I'm sure it's about money and stuff, but this is the Whippeal Championship Games. It's not fucking WrestleMania, okay? You're not the damn Super Bowl or anything else. You're high school title games in the Western Pennsylvania. That's it. I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, the games are televised, you know, are televised here in Houston, you know, for the state and local as well, for, you know, I'm not sure how the money figures come in, but the thing about it is I'm sure they get more money because, well, for one thing, Houston's got about, is a lot bigger, has a lot more people with money, and a lot of these guys will pay for this. But, you know, it's a little different. I mean, it's not WrestleMania. I mean, if anything, you're hurting the kids because, well, they're not getting exposure. You know, I'm sure, you know, if you have a kid, you know, playing on a team like that and they're in a title game, of course you want to DVR it or record it, whatever. So, you know, you're just hurting the kids when you do this. Well, who knows? Maybe that will change over the next few months, and they'll put the games on. Who knows? Maybe they already have, and I haven't, you know, looked at it yet. But I saw somebody boasting about how Duquesne has 39 players from the Whippy on their roster, and nobody recruits the Whippy harder than Duquesne. Well, that's, see, this is why Pitt doesn't really recruit Whippy as hard anymore, or anybody else does. I mean, there's your thing right there. I mean, 39 kids in an FCS school? Come on. Hey, if they're getting scholarships and stuff, hey, more power to them. I'm not going to, you know, I'm sure they're better football players than I am. I mean, I'm just a nerd. They obviously, you know, have some sort of athletic ability. I mean, I play deck hockey. I mean, I can brag about that. You know, be one of the, I mean, I'm one of those deck hockey players that brags about playing how brutal the sport of hockey is, although it's a non-check league. And you play with a freaking ball and next to nothing equipment. And your risk of injury in deck hockey will be maybe getting hit with a slap shot, maybe a little slash. And of course, at the end of the game, you get some people who get revved up with this sport and adrenaline flows, and they're losing and they pick a fight because, you know, it's deck hockey. I mean, I remember one time we almost got into a team fight at the end of the game, and you know, when you're younger, you live for that stuff. You want to fight. I think I was close to 30 at the time, and we all were pushing 30. And we were about to fight. I said, "Come on, Jesus Christ, it's deck hockey. Come on, let's go." Let's go have a beer. So anyways, I'm getting off topic, but we'll get into some other things here. Some more Pitt stuff. You know, I'm not gonna really preview Albany yet, you know. Or any ACC games till later in the week. But, you know, I didn't talk about the Catholic Church, you know. I know that was a topic I meant to get to, and you know, I was raised in a Catholic grade school. You know, I went to church every Sunday. And it was funny because our mass was like 15 minutes long. It was, you know, and we called it the, it was funny, we called it the drive-through mass. That was what everybody called it. You went, you sang a hymn. The priest lectures you for, you know, a few minutes. In our case, it was Father Crowley who was on that list of priests who did the, I guess, you know, who had, you know, reported abuse. You know, he would talk, and then of course we did the Eucharist. You know, where you get the wafer and then with the wine, and sang under him. He taught, peace be with you, also on you. You know, may the Lord be with you. Get out of here. I guess that's pretty much how it went, for the most part. You know, I went to a Catholic grade school. You know. Where they had, you know, they were with, you know, they were kind of partnered with Holy Angels. Holy Angels kids went to the school. So, you know, Father Crowley would be there as well on certain special masses we'd have at the school. He would be there usually. And I remember, like, you know, when I was doing my sacramentals, like, especially with reconciliation, communion. Reconciliation was really not that much of a big deal. I mean, there wasn't much practice involved. You know, I went and you sat in front of the Father, which was Father Crowley for me. You know, I told him, you know, my sins, and he would joke with you and, you know, say a few Hail Marys, Our Fathers, and be on your way. You know, communion, he'd pick us up after school to take us to the after school practice. And but you know, all those, and it was funny because when he would come, you know, to our school, we had to do the confessionals and stuff. For him, there was always a long line. The kids loved Father Crowley. You know, I mean, he was my priest too, and I, you know, I refused to see any priests in that school. you know, because I really enjoyed Father Crowley. So, you know, I wasn't really shocked he was on that list, and I was, because, with as many priests that were named, I figured there was a really good chance he'd be on there, and he was on there, and I think that none of the priests that I went to, you know, when I went to my grade school were on that list. There was one priest that was there one time, but he was gone before I was there, and then he came back, I think, after I graduated. And, I think for a while I was worried about my classmates. She was well, because a lot of those kids were older boys, and, you know, you're touching base with your people at the school with and just talking about it. So, anyways, I don't regret being raised as a Catholic. You know, it's funny because you go on Twitter, you have these people who go, well, thank God, this is why I didn't want to be Catholic. Dude, fuck you. So, you know, a lot of religions, they teach you values. You know, the Bible obviously is a bunch of stories and stuff that tries to shape your life in a way. I mean, there's lessons there. You take them or leave them. That's all you can do. And that's really all religion is, to be honest with you. I mean, at least in my opinion. You know, it's stuff that shapes you, and there's lessons to be learned, and you just give and take. I mean, you're gonna make mistakes in life. Okay, that's the thing about when you're raised religiously is you can't make mistakes. You can't do this or you can't do that. You're gonna make them. No matter what. And if you read the Bible, you see that these guys that supposedly were next to God, next to Jesus, they made mistakes. It's all about forgiveness. So there you go. Enough of the religious stuff. So anyways, Pitt got a transfer by the name of Jeff George Jr. And obviously his kids bounced around. He went to Illinois, where his dad, I guess, was a star. I remember watching Jeff George play, you know, when I was a kid. I mean, I think it was fifth or sixth, fifth grade when he came into the league. And the Colts were just bad. I mean, I know Baltimore was upset when they lost their football team, but they should be happy that team was gone, because that team sucked for most of their existence in Indianapolis until they got Peyton Manning. I mean, they had a little flash when they brought in Ron Meyer from SMU, because he had to get the hell out of that scandal thing. Well, Meyer went to New England, I think. Then he went to Indy. You know, they had some flashes with Eric Dickerson, and of course they went to the AFC Championship game on a Cinderella season. But other than that, there's not much to talk about as far as the Colts go. Eventually, they got Peyton and things went well. But Baltimore, they wait around. They end up getting a really good team and really good leadership and really good front office, and they won two Super Bowls since they've come into the league in, '96. But, Jeff, this kid, obviously, he's bounced around a bunch of schools. He went to Illinois. Didn't work out, obviously, because he wasn't good enough. So he transfers to Michigan, where he thought he had a chance. He actually walked on. My thing is this. If you couldn't win a starting job in Illinois, you're sure as hell not going to win one in the... you're sure as hell not going to win a starting job at Michigan. Because Jim Harbaugh's pre-recruited 4 or 5 quarterbacks are way better than you. So he lost the starting... He actually lost the starting job to a transfer. And Yeah, he lost his starting job to a transfer of all people, and because the guy was ruled eligible. And that was it. He was done. So now he wants to go to Pitt where he thinks he's going to have a better chance. But the thing is he's going to have to... for one thing, Kenny Pickett's already Pitt penciled as a starter. Ricky Towns is his backup. And supposedly, you know, a lot of the backups aren't really that good. They're not never been all that great in camp. But, you know, it could be either way, you know. Sometimes, you know, in training camp, you get your fuck-ups out of the way before, you know, you get to the, you know, to the real thing. So maybe he feels he has a chance, you know, to go up the depth chart, which I doubt. But then I just read yesterday that the better news, he doesn't know if this guy's going to be eligible for this year. So I don't know what the hell this kid's doing. And, you know, my thing is, if you're going to transfer somewhere, go somewhere you have a better chance to start. Go to an FCS school, do something. If you want to relive your glory years from high school, because obviously you can't do it in college, you know, in a Division I, go somewhere where you can actually play. But anyways, I guess the more the merrier. But Pitt's got Albany this week, and, you know, they're coached by Gattuso. And we all know about Greg Gattuso. I mean, I thought he was a really good hire when wants to hire him on. He did really well at Duquesne, and I thought he was a really good hire. And obviously, he went with his guns a-blazing when the staff got fired. And, you know, there were some rumors of some stuff that he did when Dave Wannstedt was fired, and a lot of it had to do with Steve Peterson, because they hated Peterson. But in this case, this was cutting your nose to spite your face, and supposedly he was trashing Pitt to the whippy old kids or the players they were recruiting, you know, basically saying that the butt are coming here. Gee, thanks. So, you know, Greg left, and he went to Maryland for a bit, and now he's head coach again in Albany. So, I'm curious to see if we hear anything, if anyone pulls up any old storylines about, you know, Wannstedt's firing and stuff, because, you know, I had a buddy who's actually friends with Gattuso, and he talked about the whole, Mike Haywood bringing them in to talk to him, and I guess Haywood eating an Italian hoagie while he's talking to them. So, yeah, we got Hoagie Gate, if anything. But, you know, we'll talk about that on front later this week, about what to expect from this Pitt game. And really, you know, it'll be short and sweet, because really, it's a D1 team, and not really much to write home about. And of course, other stuff. The Steelers got Ryan Switzer, and he's a good return guy. So people are saying that's pretty much going to be the beginning of the end for Quadri Henderson. Yeah, I hope Quadri ends up on the roster somewhere. Maybe practice squad, if anything else. Give him a paycheck. Do something with him. You know, maybe they can work with him. Quadri's really, you know, electric. Maybe I can use him, you know, in certain packages on the offense. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. But Nate Peterman, obviously, is, you know, he's shown a lot of improvement after last year. But people are still, you know, but people, mostly Twitter, is hung up on his 5-interception game. Because basically his coach threw him to the wolves. And I guess and I understand why his coach did it. He needed a spark on the passing game, and he wasn't getting it. So he threw Peterman in. Peterman, obviously, it didn't work out for him. But this year, he's, you know, if you watched him play some of his highlights, you know, some of his film, he's actually been leaps and bounds above it. I mean, he looks a lot more confident when he throws, when he goes through his reads and things. Just a lot more better. James Conner's having a decent camp, and Ben Roethlisberger's lobbying for him to get more touches. And, he should get more touches. Take some heat off of Le'Veon Bell. And for Bell, it'd be his benefit because he won't take as much beating. That's the problem with these running backs is once if they see a lot of carries, a lot of touches, they go downhill after that. I mean, I saw that in Houston where Arian Foster pretty much, they gave him the ball almost every play, and they gave him a big deal, but after that big season where he had like a lot of activity, he declined after that. But anyways, guys, there's really not much else to write about or talk about at this point. If anything, I just rambled a bunch of off-topic stuff. But anyways, hell of a pit. I'll talk to you later, guys. Bye.